Very much so.
Which we could say that for everything, literally.
Yeah, well, pretty much everything. Absolutely. Literally, yeah, 1,000%.
Oh, come on,
we're getting scared away from our own shit.
Fuck white people. How you doing, McKenzie?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
We'll start on that note. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Collective Podcast. I'm your host, Devin Simmons, along with my co-host for the day, my dear friend, McKenzie Rogers, Guel, whatever your aliases are. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Chilling.
Yeah, you moved.
The venue's a little different.
Yeah, it's a very, very different
venue. Yeah, we changed it up a little bit.
Congrats on moving. I know you said it was a rough move, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, as moves usually are, you know.
Like, they suck. Toughest thing
about it's like it, when though. You have, because it's like, I obviously didn't move alone. We're in a big house, but we're with a house with, like, other people. So, it's, you know, when we got the U-Haul, it's just going from house to house. And it's just like, we don't live close to where we lived before, so.
And was it like a 30-minute drive or an hour?
Yeah, so we're back in the area a little bit, you know. Like, we're kind of back in where we kind of grew up.
Is that weird? Like, kind of like moving into a house?
I was honestly.
Because you're like, I think like not even 10 to 5 minutes away from your old house.
Where my old house was. Yeah. So it's like, I was kind of not going to tell them that for a while. I was not going to be like, I'm still far. You know, like, you know, tell my whole family, like, I'm an hour out.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah.
So weird.
No, yeah. It's pretty yeah,
whatever. Well, I would like to apologize for the hiatus. It's been, I think our last host chat was April 10th. April 10th. And it's purely my fault, I think, because, like, well, it's not my fault. Let me rephrase. I had a mental health month for May. I think, more or less, it was just kind of, like, taking things slow because that, like,
there's a lot of stuff going on, honestly.
Literally. Like, that May, or not even May, March to April, it was just like, go, get as much content in as possible. And then May kind of just was like, okay, well, I want to do this, but, like, I also want to be happy type shit. Mm-hmm. And these last 2 weeks, I haven't really been too happy. I don't know what's happening. You know those, like, weird days when you wake up and it's just like, I want to stay in bed?
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of those lately.
That's every day, bro. I'm like, not even going to lie to you, but I'm more out of like a tired thing. I mean, but like I get it on a mental level. Like, there's sometimes where, and I'm getting to a point where even at my job where I'm allowing myself to, because I do want to do my job at the end of the day. I do want to do a good job as much as I, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh man, my job sucks. You know, I don't want to go, go to work or whatever, what it is. But, like, I do want to do a good job when I do that, and when I go there and shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, but sometimes, man, like, I'm getting in a good time, a good groove of, you know, of taking that mental health day. Being like, yo, like, I don't want to do shit today. Like, and actually not doing shit today. Like, when I don't want to do shit, most times people are like, oh, you know, I'm going to take time off, and I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to go do this and go do that. And I'm like, no, like, you should actually not do shit today. Like, you should stretch.
Like, yeah.
Like, actually, like, take time to actually stretch.
Yeah, I think people are caught up in, like, the motions of things. And
yeah, like, rather take a than really themselves. Long shower. Like, actually take, like, some fucking time for yourself. Like,
yeah.
Put a candle on that you like. You know, smell the fucking candle for once. Don't just walk around in the house and be like, I kind of smell the candle. Actually take time to fucking do things. Like, you know, just. Yeah. And then. It's a lot more, you know, shit's a lot more enjoyable, you know, when you aren't kind of just rushing and shit, when you can take a mental health day. So if it's a mental health month, bro, I don't give a fuck. Hey, man, like, just take it if you need it, bro.
Damn near a mental.
I don't think anybody's going to be too mad about it.
Seriously. Because I'll tell you how it started. I don't even remember what day it was. I had an idea for a video I wanted to do, and I, like, wrote down the idea. Like, I wrote a script for it. And I just, like, suddenly got so unmotivated. And I was just like, what's going on? You all right? And then I just, like, sat in my bed for a while and stared at the ceiling. I was just like, I think I'm sad. Are you sad? I don't know.
When you can feel it coming on, in a way.
Very much so. And I think the day that I, like, I snapped out of it was like this past Wednesday, because I actually finished a video that I started that got me in a funk. Mm. And I really need to stop repressing. I'm hyper aware of it, because like I've done it pretty much, or not repressing, suppressing. I've done that my whole life, where like I have an issue going on in my head and I don't tell anybody. Like my mom was like, she can tell that shit, because she told it the last time when I had like a mental breakdown type shit. And she was like, are you okay? You said, I'm like, no, I'm fine. And she knows that's bullshit probably. Yeah, but like,
absolutely.
I don't know. It's just kind of my habit, because like, well, I felt like I turned 21 when I was 11 because of circumstances type shit.
Yeah.
Kind of have to grow up faster. And then
I feel that
inherently I did my mental health a disservice a lot. And I don't know. I'm hyper aware of it now and I know how to care for it. But like in the heat of things, like, bro, I'm just like, leave me alone. And I'll just handle it however.
Hey, but like, yeah, but like sometimes it's just, I mean, it's needed. Because, I mean, at the same time, like, who's really going to completely help you get out? I mean, you can, somebody can assist you to get out of the funk, but you're going to get yourself out of the funk.
Yeah. It's always me. Yeah. I mean, the last time I'd say I had, like, a lot more help than I ever did, because I actually asked for help. But, like, this go around, it took me just talking out a video and being like, okay, well, I'm back in the things.
Yeah. I think it's not a big or a common thing for people, and it's cliche and cheesy, but they think there's something wrong with not having like a good day, good week, good month.
Right.
It's like there's a lot of like good shit. If you really think about it, there's a lot of good shit out of, man, this shit sucks right now.
Yeah.
Cause like, shit's not always gonna suck. If you're a pessimist, of course, it's like it's always gonna fucking suck. But like, if you're being a realist in that moment, shit sucks right now. Like when I'm at work sometimes, and I'm like 2 hours away, and I'm like, I want to go home so bad right now. Like I just want to go home.
Right.
Today it's fucking it's late. I'm not gonna have time to go cook food. I'm like, I'm just gonna have to eat something fucking fast food, some shit. Fucking sucks today. But like, that's me. I'm like, it sucks today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm gonna be chilling. Blah blah blah. Whatever. Blah blah blah. Whatever it is. You know, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, and not one time in my mind during that day, I'm like, it's bad that I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
In a way, you know, it's just like, it's normal for me to be having a bad day. Yeah. And it's like, it's necessary for me to have a bad day so I can understand like what a good day is.
Sure. I think that's like that takes a lot of growth, one, because like to be cognizant of a bad day and not really like be like, but like also like know that like, yeah, we're going through this right now to get to the good part.
Absolutely.
And that's just life.
Actually. Yeah. And there's always like, and that's, it's eerie. That's weird, because some people just, and then some people make like, sayings about it. And obviously like, you know, there's about to be a good thing, because you're going through the bad shit right now. It's about to be a good thing. But like, it can only be a good thing after the bad shit.
Very true.
You know, it just depends on how you're looking at it.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it seems to me it's a bad day. But like, if tomorrow is not as shitty as yesterday, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's not just because, if tomorrow's a shitty day still, but it wasn't as shitty as yesterday, it's still a fucking good thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's progress.
Just,
you know,
it's progress either fucking way. But people are just thinking, you know, some people are just like, damn, my cup is still fucking half empty. But it's like,
yeah, cup's those, got something those in people it. Probably just need an extra push, absolutely, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my event for today. I just wanted to let y'all know why I haven't been posting. But a lot of cool stuff's coming in June is the whole overarching point of that. Yeah. But for today, we have so much to talk about, because like it's been, well, a month or in like a couple of weeks, and so much has happened. But the main point that I'm here is we're going to talk about the Joe Budden podcast, because so much has fucking happened.
Man. Yeah.
First off, I guess we'll start with this. What is your interpretation of the whole issue?
We follow the podcast, you know, like we follow the podcast for a while, big fans of it and everything. So it's the animosity and all that weird bickering shit is not new.
No.
So like none of that was like weird to me. But
Which I did make a note of it because we talked about it before.
Absolutely. The going to Twitter and the subbing and the subliminal shit and all that stuff, that's new. Mm-hmm. In like the constant shit in the podcast, shit was new. So when they're human.
Yeah.
And as much as they think, you know, as all of them think they are PR trained in a way, or they are whatever it is, like they aren't. They aren't, like, they're just human most mm-hmm. times. So when they react to shit on podcasts, it's very real. So half that shit they'd say, like, well, it's not about money. Motherfucker is about money. You know what I'm saying? Always. Like, it's like, because, like, wait, as soon as you said that it wasn't about money,
that's you making a note that
tell.
It was.
Yeah, that's the tell. Absolutely. You were telling me, like, you know, it's nothing about money. Okay, so what about the money? Yeah, things aren't transparent. And as much as I don't like to agree with academics, the whole big issue was, I guess to run over, if somebody doesn't know what the issue was, mm-hmm. the issue was that behind the scenes, Rory Mal asked for the accounting on, like, hey, all of our deals, because their deal is a percentage.
Mm-hmm. Not a salary.
It's percentage based, not a salary.
Yeah.
It's percentage based. So they get a cut of what the JBP is getting. So they wanted to know what the JBP is getting.
Right.
You know, so, and so that's when the friendship got in the way. Because in a business, all right, you know, if you have a percentage in our shit, you should already be able to know what's coming in.
Right.
You know, and even small stocks, you know, I'm able to know what a company is getting in.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, if I'm working with you, especially for years, and we've been homies and shit like that, I should be able to know what
exactly
is coming.
Which I think that's where my first issue with Joe comes in, because his explanation on the podcast that was infamously deleted 15 minutes after it was posted,
but
got everywhere already. That was actually the funnest part of that day, just trying to find a good audio link.
Who had the podcast?
Because I had the one you sent me, and like right in the middle, they daxed that, that off the internet. So I found another one on YouTube.
And he was going crazy on that one.
Oh my God.
Like, saying all kinds of foul shit.
Because
Parks was going right behind him, which I'm not.
Dude. Okay. We have so many segments of that thing to get over, but like, my whole thing, because I remember the first note I made, that because I was incredibly partial, because I didn't know what the hell was going on, because I, to be honest with you, I didn't even watch a lot of Joe Budden this past year, like before they broke up. Like, I was like heavily into it 2018, heavily into it parts of 17, and then 19 when they left for Spotify, I was like, oh yeah, these are my boys.
Right.
Going into like that pandemic and then like the top of this year, I wasn't really watching them, and I actually started watching 2 weeks before they were out
for
vacation. That's when we brought it up on the podcast, or I was like, yo, what's going on with this? And then I remember like telling you, like, go watch the last episode with Rory on it, because he was being so aggressive.
Like, yeah
like, he was like, you want to fight?
Like, yeah, you want to fight? And I was like, damn, like,
yeah,
I've never seen some shit like this, because they never was never like
and
that.
And
like,
it was always a tell sign too, when Joe's reaction was just silence, because Joe doesn't shut up.
Yeah.
So like when he shuts up,
when he has nothing to say, it's a little weird.
It's like, okay. But back to what I was saying, like the first point he made about, like, y'all know how much you got paid last year? Do the math. Within their response to wanting, you know,
to see
what's going on.
And like the academics had a Twitch. I don't know if he's on Twitch or whatever he goes on live.
I really want to watch one of those live.
I never catch him. I always catch
a clip.
Yeah. So I see the clip, and he's basically saying, like, he's purposely saying, like, Rory Mal's, like, name is wrong.
I forget how he says
Rory. Rory and Meal or Mealy Meal. Some shit. He was just being disrespectful. Anyway, but he
really was.
Yeah. But all kinds of disrespectful. But, like, he was, like, basically saying some, I mean, I hate to agree with Act, but he was saying when Joe left Complex and was like, yo, I see what y'all are making, I want to make more money, and they were like, fuck no. And he was like, all right, bet, I'm out. And he left, and people actually fucking followed the dude. And he was like, bet, all right, cool, I'm out. I'm making, you know, and shit like that. And then Act was like, well, shit. And he told Act, was like, yo, you know, I did that same shit. Well, they need you now, so you might as well do the same shit. Act tried the same shit, and guess what? Act got a bag out of that session. So it's kind of like, it's the JDP people are following Joe in a way, and I didn't know that because when Rory and them left, I watched to figure out why they were gone, and listened technically.
Yeah.
And then I listened to figure out when they were gonna come back, and then I kept listening because Ice and Ish were just—they don't have any industry relationships.
Right.
Obviously, Rory is a fucking manager for a group.
Yeah.
Emotional oranges. He cannot be out here fucking destroying relationships out here because he's gonna destroy it for his group. Mm-hmm. So it's, and then, you know, Maul being, you know, connected for since forever.
Yeah.
You know,
with his brother, since
forever. He can't be, so he can't be out here saying that shit. But Joe Budden is known for being that person. So
he's done it on multiple occasions.
Technically the only person on that podcast that can say shit like that.
Yeah. So, which that ended up being like the saddest part of that entire breakdown. Because for the duration of like all of that, Joe leaving Complex, Joe leaving Spotify, Joe leaving whatever the fuck else he left.
Yeah.
They were always, you could always fall back on Rory and Maul being there. I literally never saw it coming down to Joe leaving them.
Absolutely.
Or vice versa. I still
don't like, really know. Yeah, in a way, because like, that's exactly what Maul was like. He was like, he's seen him cross all these other niggas and say all this shit. They were like, I would never think a nigga would, you know, do that to me. And I'm just like, well, he's always been that kind of person, you know? And then, like, if you took people as, you know, as that kind of person, then, you know, then you should have known that he, in a way, that he was going to do that to you.
Yeah.
But that's why, I mean, I get the whole friendship and business thing, but it works. It does work. It works with friendship and business. It does. But not with people like Joe Budden. And stuff like that. Like you've got podcasts like Flagrant 2, right? Say Flagrant 2 with Andrew Schultz and Akash Singh and all those guys, and they probably have like a business setup because they're all like people on the podcast. They're all, you know, comedians and people want to listen to all of them.
Which also a bigger point.
But I'm pretty sure they know what's coming in and out.
But then again, they have a little bit more infrastructure because they're assigned to podcast networks that are run by radio stations.
Well, absolutely, yeah. But yeah, but it's, you know,
JBP is literally Joe Budden.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. So I mean, but it's in a way of like, you kind of know, and you're kind of more cohesive and understand the situation. There was more so, I think they thought that they were also the JBP as well. And
when in actuality it'd be
it would be called something different had he has ego not been in it already.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's why it wasn't so surprising to me. All the situation where it was like he was like, I'm because Ack was like, Joe was saying, I'm that nigga.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all aren't that nigga, which I hate to say, but it's fucking true, bro. It is true, man. And I love it because they can do their own thing and they can be those niggas on their own. But for that show, when they left, I hate to say this, when they left and Ice and Ish came back in and they started talking that shit and they were saying, fuck this, blah, 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 man, they don't have any industry relationships. People were like, I still fuck with this. And I was still listening for that reason. In part, partially because I wanted to know when Rory and Maul and them were coming back. Mm-hmm. So my views were still there, and I'm pretty sure everybody else's views were still there, too.
Dislikes were up, too.
Dislikes was up, exactly.
They too. Still are. But so I hear you, though. Because
But he's still on the wrong. He's in the wrong. In my opinion, Joe is absolutely 1,000% in the wrong out of morality.
Okay.
Because you can't handle your homies like that.
Yeah.
Like that's the only thing.
Tail in between the legs type shit. Like I really do think that like all of that probably could have gotten handled properly.
But and Joe, off the fucking air.
Yeah. It was just morals. Cause like this is where it always goes back. Cause like when they came back and Maul just like said respect for 2 hours damn near. I heard him loud and clear.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, you don't call.
And he wasn't saying anything else on the podcast other than that. Like, he didn't say much else on the podcast other than that. He said what he needed to say
and didn't say anything else. Joe wasn't hearing it, really. Nope. That, which, That's kind of part of the journey that I always forget. The episode after that one was so fucking awkward. Like,
oh yeah, because he really didn't say any shit.
The energy was off, dude.
Because I get where he's talking about with respect. You got, because like, bro, we have a percentage in what we're coming, what we're bringing in. So you're telling me, and you try to put us on salary, we said no. Because that's a fact. He said he was gonna put them on salary, which is some fuck shit. Because he knew that this could pop up.
Yeah.
So he knows that Joe was gonna be receiving, incrementally more, however much more, because it's the Joe Budden podcast and people fuck with Joe, and blah blah blah, and they have a percentage. So I know that when the percentage, there was never a money issue.
Sorry.
That's it's cool. But like, it was never a money issue. Yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they had saw the how much money, they said like $450,000 like was like
missing. Yeah. Which
so
I mean,
they found out the 450 went to bruh, like it was obviously gonna be a money issue. It wasn't a money issue currently, I get that, but it was gonna be a money issue in the future.
Right. It's interesting.
So, like, and that's why he had to bring fucking Ian in, his manager in afterward, so that he doesn't slip on the fucking podcast saying too fucking much. And then, on the fucking, the Patreon shit.
Yeah.
And he told Rory and Ma if they tried to make their own podcast, he'd sue the pants off of them or some shit like that, where I'm like... So, like, now you're on some weird shit because you said that, you would never be on some shit like this. Which, and now you're on the offense.
It was obvious when emotion came into play.
Absolutely. And it's like, you can tell when Ma said that he needed respect. If I ask somebody, like, if I ask, like, if you're saying in a house full of people, right? In your roommates, I'll put it this way. I'm trying to make a situation so make it smooth. So like, if you're living in seven people, right, and there's six people all paying rent or some shit in this giant mansion, and the seventh person is not paying any rent,
yeah,
type shit. That seventh person, if that seventh person was like, "Hey man, how much is rent?" And everybody was just like, "Nah, don't worry about that."
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that. Don't even worry about none of that shit. Like blah blah. They don't even concern you. Type shit.
It would be what Joe said.
You can tell exactly.
It's none of your business.
He did say that was none of your business.
That's disrespectful.
So you can tell the respect level is not there when somebody's like little bruh, like chill out, like you asking too much. You really reaching. Like you really out of line. Like, get back in line type shit. Like, that's when you know that, I'm not on the same level. Okay, I see how that is. So it's like, for somebody like Ma and somebody like Rory who are in the spaces that they are in, to get done like that on live, like, in front of millions of people and shit like that, that's disrespectful, bro. Yeah. So Joey knew he had an upper hand, so he tried to use that. So,
Now, in aspects of the podcast, I want to rewind a little bit because you made an interesting point about how you were still checking out the podcast.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. In my humble opinion, as much as I've loved the original Joe Budden podcast, and I go for my specific reasons, like a lot of the talking points, I'm like glued in to Rory. Like Rory has a lot of like rhetoric on a lot of the music stuff they talk about.
Right. As far as music. Yeah, absolutely.
It's so interesting hearing him talk about it. And then, some days I'm like, I want to hear Joe spaz out on Eminem talking about him in a diss track.
Right.
And absolutely. I go for Joe.
And I want to hear Joe talk about, how fucked up people get in contracts and all shit like that. So for him to be the person that's fucking up people in their contracts is like, the craziest shit, though. I never know how we would get here.
We're getting a peek inside the industry we don't really know about. So,
for somebody that's been standing P. Diddy so fucking much.
You know what I'm saying?
For somebody who, he's like, because like that Black Rob situation was like, he was like, no, he don't need to be, he don't need to pay Black Rob, nothing like that, blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, all right. Because like, was when Ice said some shit like that, or like, it's not Bad Boys for the until the end of your contract. Mm. It's Bad Boys for life. Yeah. So like, why isn't homie taken care of right now? And you know, type shit. So that's obviously how fuck shit gets. And he, and it's crazy that like Joe is being accused of all this shit. And like, it would be easier to like side with him if he wasn't already leaving the trail of some fuck shit leading up to this shit. Like he's not that guy that was fighting people, like, you know, get them out of that contract, crying and shit, and talking about how the people are in fucked up contracts. And he's not that guy anymore, because he's that guy that's fucking people in contracts now. Yeah. He has no sympathy for people like that now that he understands how it feels to be the guy, the leader.
It's crazy.
So I mean, it's funny how just shit changes. But like, I mean, technically, at the end of the day, there is zero things wrong with the situation and the way it, how it happened. But in a friendship situation, that's not how you handle your homies.
I don't think so.
1,000%. It's just not how you handle your homies. One, you know, you're going on a live podcast with you know you got millions of people talking, you know, crazy about, oh, I didn't call him on his birthday, you know, type shit. Like, I didn't, you know, did you call him on his birthday? I ain't gonna call him on, I ain't call him. Fuck that guy. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is the guy that's been on the, you know, your podcast for like hundreds of episodes. Like, we all watch his podcast partially before them as well, you know. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, you know, we're here, but you know, damn dog, like, so like, I don't rush to watch the podcast anymore, to be honest with you, bro. I don't either. I like, because it got to a point where I wanted to watch other podcasts react to that podcast falling out.
I was literally, you know? I was watching Brilliant Idiots more than I ever had in my life.
Right, and yeah, because Charlamagne, he had some good points about that. Him and Andrew had some like really good points about that, bro. It was just...
Which, oh, that goes right back to what I was saying. Like, I recognize that their chemistry is a lot better, is what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Ish and Joe have... tend to have better, like, long drawn conversations about things that, like, Rory and Maul, we'd probably get like a 15 to 20 minute segment out of some of the stuff that they prolong for 30 or 40. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that's just good conversation, but also it's dry to me. I don't know.
Yeah,
because all the insight nowadays, like the insight, because like I would say probably way more opinion based than the JBP has ever been, mm-hmm. as opposed to like the old version where everybody had something that they wanted to say about that
specific thing. Yeah.
And it just seems like right now it's Joe and Parks like kind of like throwing it back and forth.
And Joe's going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. The whole fucking time without even listening to what Joe actually said. He's just kind of
looking to agree. It's just kind of dry.
But mostly it's just because like the Rory and Maul had a percentage based contract. I don't think anybody else did.
No.
You know? I don't think anybody else did. So I think everybody else is more so grateful to be on, like, because Rory, Maul, and them can take breaks because they know that the money's going to be coming in.
Yeah.
Either way. Other people have to show up to make money anyway because it's work. It's actual job.
That was a point
them.
That Joe made that I actually really agreed with.
Well, yeah. So it's actually, and they have lives. And that's why I didn't agree with Maul being like, why the podcast was still going without us? And I was like, well, yeah, people still have to fucking go there. There's the cameraman and the fucking, all those dudes got to eat still. Unless you want to pay them out of the pocket, whatever it is. I don't imagine that they have a percentage of the GDP.
Just another show of emotion before logic.
Absolutely.
Because logic would say, there's people that really need to be paid.
Absolutely. Like, and so
especially
you,
now.
You pandemic. Weren't thinking about yourself. You were thinking about the people behind the fucking camera too.
And that's rooted in his argument of respect. Because it's as much as the show must go on, it's still in its nature a slight. Which is why, like, Maul kind of, I think he's like, fuck logic.
Absolutely. Respect me over everything.
Which that's just probably what he grew up
on. Absolutely.
Which upbringing is important too. Like, mm-hmm. Rory's going to ask about the money, bro. Like,
yeah, I mean, as an accountant.
Maul's going to be like, nigga,
as an accounting major, I think he was going to school for accounting. You know I think I mean? He was like, of course he's going to ask for the accounting. Like, Joe doesn't know. He's obviously the emotion out before logic. Mm-hmm. Joe's like, I've never seen anybody do it in an Excel spreadsheet and all some shit. Like, bro, like, come on now. That's what this shit's kind of for. Like, bro, like, you're just chill. I understand you're upset, but like, you know. you know, actually just let's be real. Let's be serious about it. So, I mean, it sucks that it had to go down that way. And it was always probably going to go down that way. I think Charlamagne always called it. Other people
have called it. Yeah, there's that clip going around from their podcast in 2017.
Yeah, other people have called it. But, I mean, people at the podcast, they all have, they're all on salary. So, like, you know, when Aisha Nation and all those people, like, at the end of the day, they're not going to disagree with him so much. You know?
That. Park said it the best. He was like, bro, I'm happy where I'm at.
Exactly.
Because, like, it's a bigger check than he's ever gotten in his own industry.
Exactly, bro. As an engineer, having somebody tell me, bro, like, you got to think about it. Parks is not going to fucking complain, bro. I think about it in my position, right? Imagine that we had this podcast was like a giant, you know, run by a company, all kinds of crazy shit, you know, and we had, you know, production and all this crazy shit like that. And niggas was just showing up to my house, you know, and I'm just eating it, just chilling in my crib, and niggas just show up, and, you know, we run the podcast or whatever, blah, 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 and then everybody leaves, and I just made a bag chilling in my own crib, you know, on my couch type
good
shit.
Time. And then making the money he made before. Which
talking
made
about other rappers that I like and always wanted to meet are coming and chilling in my room, chilling on my couch, chilling in my house, my girl's upstairs cooking and all kinds of shit. Like, everything's all good. Like, it was just... I get Parks' his stance on that, but, like, it sucks that, like, everybody, the friendship had to be, like, completely, because you can tell how much of people weren't really cool when the money started to, like, you know, to, you know, get in the way, because it was always a money issue when they were like, it's not a money issue, and then now we all see that they wanted to see what the, you know, the accounting. That's a fucking money issue, bro. So to tell me it's not a money issue and then to tell me that you wanted to see the accounting makes no fucking sense.
Which,
so,
on a friendship level, I think Parks is still friends with Ray and all.
I mean, I don't think there's no issue. I don't think they don't have any, like, beef. I just don't imagine they would be, like, trying to hang out type shit. I don't think they, you know, like, I just, you know.
I don't
think
Joey would like that right now.
Yeah, like, I just think that, like,
which he's been really because I saw his response to their response, which we haven't even talked about yet. But
they made a whole, like, funny meme video type shit.
I in fact paid the $2 and kind of, like, was like, yeah, you know.
Oh yeah, for their watch their video. They did it at
Vimeo.
Yeah.
Which I was like, $2, whatever. I'll give it to
them. Yeah, it was paid.
But back to what I was saying. What was I saying? I was saying. God damn it! I forgot.
What was I saying? Joe Budden.
What was I saying? Do you remember?
I don't know. We touched on a lot of this.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know.
Joe Budden Parks.
Fuck it.
I mean, but like, either way, he's not going to complain. Parks is not going to complain too much. He's on salary, bro.
Mm-hmm.
The cameraman, none of those guys are going to complain too much. They're on salary. The only reason why it got blown up too much is because Rory and Maul are both on a percentage-based contract, and they asked for how much are they making. Okay.
He's being really apologetic. That's what I was talking about. Because of, in light, I'll I think a little level of forgetting about this, because I totally forgot about it just now. But the fact that, like, Joe Budden's kind of going through, like, a lot of sexual assault accusations at the moment, too. You remember
that? Yeah, he is, because of, he, like, didn't he, like, hump one of his, like, co-hosts or some shit? One of the girls
The show on his network, I think it's See the Thing Is, with, God, I forget the co-host's name, but, you know, he was kind of, like, verbally, like, trying to, like, impose sex on her for the entirety of a podcast, and she was extremely uncomfortable, didn't talk about it for a month, didn't even go to the show, was really distraught by the situation, and at some point in the video, he asked for a hug, goes for the hug, and, like, kind of, like, gyrates on her leg type shit.
Yeah.
Which most of what her issue was
because I saw that.
Yeah.
Somebody had that clip, and then somebody said, mm-hmm. he, and then so she had a clip of her going, like, yo, I'm like, mad uncomfortable right now. And she said it twice on the mic. I was like, y'all She's, mad.
You could just read right her now. Face. Yeah. The vibe was really off. And, you know, it was just like a it's really not, troubling yeah. work environment. Because at the end of the day, it is a work environment. Which I feel like could probably end up getting Joe in a lot of trouble with anything. Like, the work environment that he's set at the moment mm-hmm. is just chilling at the crib with his homies.
Mm-hmm.
That could in lieu really get you in trouble.
It's getting him in trouble in every possible way.
And that's kind of dangerous, with especially when you have the infrastructure like you have it right now.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, it's getting like the idea of running a podcast that's just chilling with the homies is fucking up his money in every possible way.
Right now it is, and I don't really know what to tell him.
Not a goddamn thing, bro. Shit, what the fuck is there to tell a homie? Like, bro, like it's like, bro. I mean, like. Yeah, my whole thing, in conclusion, treat your homies better than that.
Yeah.
1,000%. Like, you cannot be over anything, because, like, the business, all that shit can go to shit. Mm-hmm. All that money and all that bullshit can go to shit. But, like, you know, you gave your homies and all of them a platform as well. So if they be able to build the platform off you and help, and if they were able to return the favor for you, they would only do it if you were solid.
Right.
They would only do it if you were a solid nigga. You know, it doesn't matter if you had, you know, when you get down to your last, if you were still a solid nigga, they're going to come out and help you
yeah.
every single time, you know. But like, he's not moving solid. And I get where people could see where the issue was wrong. But like, Joe is that nigga. We found out that people are following him and that podcast for him. Rory and Malt have their own platform right now. I think he should release them from their contract.
Hmm.
Let them do their own fucking podcast. Let them do their own fucking thing. And he doesn't have to have anything to do with it. He wants to have something to do with it. He's on his P. Diddy shit. He's going to want to have a percentage of something that they're going to do. But, you know, let them do their own fucking thing. He does his own fucking thing. And that's it. Like, you know, if they want to make up, and get views on both of their podcasts later on and have Joe on their podcast and them on theirs later on, do that.
Yeah.
But like, for right now, like, all this petty bullshit, like,
it's not it.
It's not entertaining anymore. First two podcasts that they were doing, and I was like, hey, this shit crazy.
Yeah, it was saucy.
I hate that nigga too. Yeah. You know, it is. And then it was, and then now it's like, yo, okay, like, no, but like, being serious, like, y'all need to stop. Like,
yeah, because like, I got discouraged. Weird. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's like,
it's over with.
I listen to podcasts to get away from the drama that I'm listening to, you know, I'm getting to at home and wherever I'm at around me. So it's like, if I'm listening to your drama and I'm listening, it's like, bro, this is not what the shit that I'm listening
it's
to.
It's kind of funny because I have like a memorial kind of, because I was watching old episodes and shit. And I was, you know, the episode that really did it for me, it was the Pusha T interview after we put out Story of Adonis. I was like, this is like the greatest podcast of all fucking time.
Dude.
And it's gone. And I got real sad, man. I was like, man, this shit,
it'll never be that. Yeah,
because above like it just being a podcast, which it sounds like, man, I almost cried over it. Like, bro, I mean, that podcast was there for a lot of really important moments. Like, I watched one of my first episodes watching it was following the Las Vegas shooting. And they talked about that for a little while, and I didn't really talk to anybody about it. And then when X died, that was the first podcast I listened to. When Lil Peep died, all of these things that, like, you know, celebrities, but still really affected me in some kind of way or whatever the situation may be. The first podcast normally was the Joe Budden podcast, and it was like, damn, that little piece, that little snippet of my life is kind of done with, and like. I don't know. I couldn't see. I don't know if I could see them getting back together. Could you?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, 1,000%. Like, I've fallen out with homies in my time that, like, I was like, yeah, this motherfucker, I'm never talking to this motherfucker ever again.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Done it a couple times.
Type shit.
I feel you.
And it's like, I don't have to hang with them ever again, but it's like, it's not to the point where, like, it's on site when I see him anymore.
Right.
Type shit. Right. There's a few people that still like that, you feel me? But it's gonna have to stay that way. It's gonna have to stay that way. But like, you know, we just gotta say though, we ain't buzzing on that. We ain't buzzing on that. But a few people, you know, they can get the pass, and like, you know, everybody's cool, and you know, it's just like, I feel like this is one of those situations where it's just like, it's not, because I don't have to come to blows or nothing like that. I think the biggest and funniest shit about it was like, because I was about to say like Joe should fight it out, but Joe was like. He said somebody came and saw about Rory's hands. He said, and they wouldn't about him. I was like, you know, bro, come on, man.
Because like Rory,
and really, somebody came and saw about your hands.
Because my whole thing was when Rory was like, let's go fight. He looked like he was gonna kick his ass because Rory gets red really easy. Yeah, I know.
He boxes, so it's just like, bro.
Wait, does he really?
Apparently, he boxes. So it's just like, I don't know if he actually has an amateur boxing, because hidden mitts is not the same fucking boxing. I don't know if people think if like hit like all that, because like maybe, because like when people think like, oh damn, that motherfucker hidden mitts, like he can fuck somebody up.
Yeah,
mitts ain't hitting you back, dog. Like is, and mitts ain't definitely ain't moving like which, that, like people do.
Which, RP the Joe Budden podcast, but we're gonna get off that and transition into these big fights happening on the 6th.
Yeah.
I remember talking about this like a little bit off the air with you about like celebrity boxing or the state of boxing.
Yeah.
What does June 6th in totality do for you as like just a fighting fan?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because like that's all I watch is like, I mean, I'm only a combat sports fan. I couldn't tell you about really any other sports other than combat sports. And like just the fact that like it's tricky. It's so tricky, man, because it's like it is the best thing for boxing right now, but not in the history of boxing.
Sure.
But the fact that it's the best thing for boxing is fucking awful, you know? It's fucking awful. When
the integration of celebrities into it, or?
Of the celebrity YouTuber, TikToker, and sanctioned or unsanctioned boxing in arenas for money and stream money, because like they know that you could get people to stream and also buy it afterward, merch, you know, they'll tune into all this shit. You can sell all this shit. It's so fucking easy to get, as long as you show me that you can get concurrent viewers on your own thing. We're just gonna add shit. That's all they do. It's like, okay, you got 1.2 million on your TikToks, okay, bet. You fight this motherfucker who got 15 million. You fight this motherfucker who got blah, blah, blah. And that means that, and then the guy who's looking at it, he's like, well, we got, you know, a couple, you got this many million people who could possibly watch this. That's all they're thinking about. They're not thinking about, like, is this a good fight to fight this motherfucker at all? It's, you know, they don't think, they don't even really, they really give a shit.
I guess my question, because, like, you are a combat fighter fan, like, does this weekend, like, derail future events, like I guess like a Wilder versus Fury, like,
no,
does honestly, that derail whatever that means as opposed to what a Logan Paul versus,
it's not gaining fans for boxing, you know what I mean?
Are there two different crowds now, you think?
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing about it, is that there's like the trailer event thing. People who are watching Logan Paul fight Floyd Mayweather aren't going to tune in for Canelo you know, and Joe Saunders.
Jinx.
You know what I'm saying?
Which, by the way, congrats on the last fight. That shit was fire.
Insane. You know what I'm saying? But, like, they're not going to show up for that.
But it brings another interesting level when you impose somebody that's the king of that world, like that Canelo world.
Absolutely.
And taking him and putting, like, what's the mix? Do you even know? Like what's the reception? Because I don't know if like that Canelo buyer is going to invest in a pay-per-view with Logan Paul at the head of it.
Well, absolutely they will. Like 1,000%.
Just to see him get fucked up?
Well, if your favorite fighter is fighting, like, it's the worst thing that I hate to admit, that if my favorite MMA fighter is fighting a boxing match against fucking whoever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, TikToker who I don't even fucking know.
Who is your favorite MMA fighter?
I don't even have one, honestly. I don't know. Yeah, I got favorite fighters everywhere.
Yeah,
honestly.
You just watch for sport.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, like there's all controversial. I used to be a big Jon Jones fan, but yeah, but not anymore. But Yeah, like, I mean, for the state of boxing, it's not, I mean, it's not good as far as where boxing has been, because it's not, what's not, what's popular is not like Mike Tyson's the scariest motherfucker ever, because people want more, and now people are always going to want more. So people, what's the thing now is MMA. Mm. People want to see MMA. So like, well, I've seen people, I've watched MMA since, I saw my first MMA fight when I was like, I don't know, I was so fucking young, man. Right. And it came on like early in the morning. It was like a preview of like what the fights are going to be on.
Yeah.
The Girls Gone Wild shit used to be on Comedy Central at like 2-3 in the morning. And all that shit. Yeah. right after all that shit was going on, there was like fighting and all that shit like that. And I was young, so I was probably watching the Girls Gone Wild shit like, hey, like, what's going on? Let me see a titty or two. But like, it's just like, but I ended up seeing some fights and I was like, yo, that's on TV? Like, people can actually fucking do that shit? Yeah. You know, so people want to see that. You feel me? Like, people want to see, oh, is that Army Man? Oh, that's DQ. DQ is underrated, dog. Under fucking rated. People sleep on it. I've been eating all day, man. People sleep on it. But like, people want more. I feel like, so like, when people want to see boxing, when you get the you know, because people think the clinching and all that shit is like that, like they're holding each other, blah blah blah. Yeah. And all, you know, in boxing, and there's not much you can do in MMA. I mean, like in the last month, there's been like two bones snapped. Oh, you know, Chris Weidman broke his leg snapped it, just like how he did on Anderson Silva. And Jacare Souza, who was one of the most accomplished, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu players in the fucking world.
Can you help me remember what event that was? Because that was the best UFC event I've ever watched in my life.
260 something.
Oh my God.
260.
I've never been entertained like that.
Yeah, but it was. I mean, it was the one of the one of these last ones. The last one was a fight night. I remember in 260, or yeah, 260, 261, or something like that.
I'm seeing 262.
262 is the McGregor fight, is it? No, or was that? 262 might have been.
It's not showing me a card.
Yeah. Either way, fuck it. I don't. Yeah, I don't. I usually don't know the numbers, but Jacare Souza got his fucking arm broken by another pretty good Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu player, but he had all of his weight on his arm, and like he had an arm bar, and he was trying to get his arm out, and he was like, and then his fucking arm just like snapped.
Jesus.
And it sounded like, you ever heard, like, you just been in the woods, I don't know if you're just, whatever you're doing in the woods, and you hear a fucking limb snap out there. It's the same fucking sound, dog. It's a fucking like loud echo of just like fucking just, yo, that's just the most disgusting shit ever, bro. And he just looked at his arm and was like, man, like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, bro, these people are different. So that's what people want to see. People want to see some crazy shit. People want to see somebody get hit with an elbow and have to fight through getting the blood out of their eye and like trying to fight back and shit. People want to see shit like that.
I tell you what, with that leg, my eyes.
Oh, you know, yeah,
it did not leave the screen.
He's not fighting back after that.
Just because, like, and you know what? I vividly remember it because, like, I literally don't care about snaps anymore. I think Kevin Ware really got me immune to that shit because when he went through that in the NCAA, which that's what they immediately brought up, but the snap, I was like, oh shit. But the stepping on it and seeing it crumble like jelly.
And they were like,
yeah,
let's look at it in slow-mo. I was like, nigga, come on, bro. Like, y'all don't even need to do that, bro.
Oh, my
God. Like, what is that even for?
It was like, okay, that's
a
good snap.
Let's watch him step on it.
Clean snap, but just like walking on it and just like.
On all of his weight.
He did the Thanos explanation. Legs turned to fucking jelly, bro. Like, that shit was so disgusting.
Oh, my God.
I gotta tell you, that was the most fun I've ever had.
He's walking on that leg now. I mean, like, all great. All, yeah.
Built different, man.
They're built completely different. Honestly, if I was the UFC, I would allow him to take all the EPO, all the recovery drugs, so that he can get back into fighting, and then he has to be clean by the time he fights again. But I think that he should be cleared from USADA and all that shit for he could take all the fucking recovery shit.
Are those banned?
There's banned. They're all banned. Absolutely. Like, you will get, like, one of my favorite fighters is TJ Dillashaw because, like, he has one of the, just some of the dopest, like, striking ever. That motherfucker was cheating. That motherfucker was, yeah, I mean, like, straight up cheating, apparently. Like, taking EPO, which is basically, like, I think it allows your blood cells, I think, to, like, not circulate faster, whatever it is, but like it allows you to recover from straining your muscles in exercise. So you can fucking train stupid hard one day and then come back the next day and feel like you didn't train stupid hard yesterday. Your recovery is not as bad. Gotcha. So like, you know, you don't have to take so many days off, so much time off.
So wouldn't it be wise to like, if like it was like, I guess, like, a certain list of injuries, let those people do those medicines?
Yeah, I would think that if people are injured like that, like, your arm and your leg is broken and you're on contract, we got to pay you and we got to get you back in these fights, I feel like they should be cleared from USADA to be able to take drugs and all that other shit like that. And by the time that they fight, they have, like, you know, they have to piss clean.
Right.
Give clean blood, clean place, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then be able to fight type shit. But people want to see, and people are more interested in MMA now than boxing. People want to see MMA more than boxing. Like, it's just,
well, I think that's just kind of because growing up, there was like a large list of famous boxers. Absolutely. To look out for.
There's scary people, and the heavyweights were the scary ones. Like, mm-hmm. You know, just be like, to be anywhere near Mike Tyson. Big dudes are scary as fuck. Whereas now MMA, you see what you're afraid of. You're afraid of the big dudes still. Francis Ngannou and those dudes are fucking terrifying. Don't get me wrong. But you're afraid of the small dudes because the small dudes is going to hit you with some spinny shit. And you don't want to get hit with some spinny shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody going to get some spinny shit. Like, you know, you got Conor McGregor, who's not a tall guy. He's not a giant guy by any means. But he will fucking hit you with some spinny shit. And that's not what you want to get hit with.
Which, I think is my point. It kind of switched. Because I remember growing up, you hear about Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, Tyson Fury, Wilder, all these people. Not to say that the fun in boxing isn't there, but the star power literally kind of shifted because kids are growing up on Conor McGregor. They're growing up on Khabib and all those guys. They're really growing up on those names rather than a big name in boxing because really there's only two.
Yeah.
So. And it's also starting this shift to, like, Ryan Garcia being the, like, if kids want to get into boxing, they're going to go to him.
They're going to go to him first, the TikTok boxer first, you know?
Which, I don't know how to categorize him because the kid's got some fucking...
No, he's a fucking monster, that
but
kid.
He's still so heavily involved in that YouTube TikTok portion.
Yeah, but he's just... I want to say something controversial.
Yay. Let's go.
Devin. He's in a way like how a lot of high-tier women's MMA is. High-tier women's MMA is more so about... They have a duality. Like, they have a thing where the males don't. Whereas they can become celebrities in a way. Okay. Like, you got people like Paige VanZant, who's, like, really attractive. She also can fight, and she's also been champion, and she's also, you know, done all this stuff like that before. Sure. And fought and stuff. And it's like, so people tune in to that because they're like, man, they're really attractive. And they're all, then, like, the people like this person, like, they're on Instagram, they're on, you know, social media all the time. I see them all the time. They're on podcasts and news and all that shit like that. They're every fucking where. So it's really hard to book a really hard fight against somebody who's just gonna fuck you up. Like, you don't want to fight. Like when you become that person, like Ryan Garcia or like Paige VanZant or like Rachel Ostovich or anybody who was just like,
or Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey became that kind of person.
Yeah,
where you just like you get a taste of something different that's not fighting. Like when you get satin sheets and you sleep in them and you're like, fuck fighting. You know, you know, so it's like, you know, I don't gotta get punched in the face because I'm sleeping on that shit that I wanted to sleep on.
Yeah.
To not get punched in the fucking face no more.
So which Ryan got his first taste of that in his last fight in December.
He got rocked.
Yeah. But he came back and gave him that.
Absolutely.
Have you seen that body shot that knocked him out?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Fast like his fuck.
It was like a power voltage.
The kid is insane. Now the thing is, they have to be careful with him.
Mm.
You know, they have to be super careful with him, just like they have to be careful with Paige VanZant or Rachel Vlasovic or any of these people who are like, you know, social media people. Like it's same thing as Logan Paul or Jake Paul. Triller is not going to let Jake Paul fucking get fight like an actual boxer. They're not going to do it. They won't do it. It's not smart. As much as people want to see Jake Paul get fucking knocked out by somebody who's like got all the boxing experience ever and blah, 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 and kill Jake Paul.
But it'd be why profitable. Why would they do that? No.
You know, it wouldn't be profitable.
Wouldn't
it? No, because think about how are you going to make money again? You know?
Okay, so you thought that. Well, I was in the now. You were in the longevity just then. It's on video for now. Think like McKinsey. Because I literally was just like, that's going to make a lot of money, but you're not going to get another one unless people... Well, but also, people just want to see Jake Paul get knocked out. Absolutely.
But like...
You don't think he would do that? Because he doesn't seem to care about integrity.
1,000% they would never do that. And if they're smart, they should never do that. Because... You got to give him somebody that doesn't know how to box. You got to give him somebody that, you know, that doesn't have any hands or doesn't... Because, like, you know, because if you fucking knock out Jake Paul, that clip is going to be on the internet forever. He's going to have that forever. He's mm-hmm. he's the guy that's on the internet. He's the internet guy. So at that point, your star is on, you know, on fucking camera getting destroyed.
Right.
Like, look what happened to Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor is one of the biggest MMA. He was one of the. I mean, he still is, but was actually at that point the biggest MMA.
Like 2016, 2017, yeah. He was in.
The now spot. There's clips of him just getting stood. Like he's on the ground, like cowering over himself, while Khabib is just talking to him, like, "Let's talk now, motherfucker. Yeah. You want to talk? Let's talk now." And just getting his fucking face beaten in. And it's like when you're a hero, when you're cash cow.
Loses credibility.
When the game cover guy and all that shit like that is getting fucked up, right? Like, they would never let LeBron go to the fucking Hawks.
Yes.
You feel me?
But
if he starts to fucking suck, it's over for the NBA. You feel me?
But here's my counteract. Jake Paul, not Conor McGregor. Jake Paul, not LeBron. Jake Paul, not any of these people that had credibility to the level they had credibility and then took their L. Because the reason that Conor McGregor is on the internet looking like is because we've never seen him like that. We've never seen him as vulnerable as he was against Khabib, or we've never seen LeBron as vulnerable as he was against the Spurs the second time around. Right. So Jake Paul, we're also talking about someone that doesn't really have that much integrity within the sport of boxing, regardless of how much he trained or how many bouts he's won.
Yeah.
If he gets knocked out by someone who's for real, I just think that the lack of integrity that's not there at all is going to influence him to keep going with it and another avenue of making money with the sport.
Absolutely. He would make videos about him getting knocked out
and mock it
and all kinds of shit like that. And he would still be relevant.
But
the smartest thing to do, because you would still take a dip. It wouldn't be like your cash cow is completely gone.
Yeah.
But I feel like you would still take a dip as far as like your actual gains, as far as you know,
going this is upward. True, and that's why I agree with you, because the whole sell of Jake Paul even doing this is
you
the
gotta
fact
give
that
him
he's
somebody
actually
that's he's
good.
Gonna knock out.
Yeah,
you gotta give him somebody that you get. He's gonna fuck up. He's up on all the con. You know, they're giving him a robot and all kind of you know mm-hmm. person who's in a robot little suit.
Yeah,
all shit like that. They're giving him all that shit, all the backing because he can sell it. So if you knock out the guy who can sell it, it's fucked, because look what happened to Conor. As soon as he got fucking knocked out, the UFC didn't stop. I mean, it's not like they stopped focusing on him, but like Khabib got all the praise, and rightfully so. Don't get me wrong. Rightfully so. Khabib is not the most interesting person.
He's not as marketable as Conor McGregor. They have
to tell the same fucking story over and over again for Khabib to be relevant. And right. I love Khabib. I love the story. Like, you know, he wrestled a bear when he was little, and they got to tell the whole story again. And his dad was a wrestling, and he's the best, you know, combat sambo wrestler ever. Blah blah blah. But like, he's not like somebody that's gonna go get in a bar fight, or somebody that's gonna throw a dolly through a fucking, you know, a bus,
right?
Or somebody who's gonna talk about other people on social media. He's not gonna do any of that shit. He's too humble and all the other shit like that. So it's not gonna sell a ton, you know, if he gets fucked up,
right? Right.
So it's like, you know, don't allow somebody to get that shit off you, because the next person who fucks up Jake Paul, if it's a nobody boxer,
you know.
Look at Andy Ruiz. Who the fuck was Andy Ruiz? I'm sorry, Andy Ruiz. Well, who the fuck was Andy Ruiz before he knocked out, what's his face?
Who?
Anthony Joshua. He knocked out the British dude who was big and muscular and shit like that. And
was that what was the knockout we watched in your room the night after we wrapped up a podcast?
Frankie Edgar.
Oh my God.
Frankie Edgar got, like, he got flying kneed.
Yeah.
And we were like, because like, we were all like, I was like, man, why are they going to do this to Frankie? But he's about to get knocked out.
You said watch him get knocked out.
I was like, watch him get knocked out right and here. And they start. I guarantee you.
We were all, we were like, bugging out.
Jordan was like, Frankie the answer Edgar. He was like, Frankie the answer Edgar. I was like, oh snap. And then like, we were like, I really wish why they do this video. Frankie, man. And he was like, bam. Everybody's like, y'all ready to go? Y'all
ready to go? We bugged out because we were not expecting that quick.
I was like, oh man, they killed my boy. Look what they did to my boy, man. And yeah, I don't think he's been back since. So like, it's just, I mean, that's the UFC game. And that's the thing is, like, because they would have never given him Frankie that fight back in the day.
Right.
If they would never given him somebody that was going to fuck him up back in the day. They would have given somebody that was going to give him a good fight that he could possibly have won.
Something that's marketable.
Absolutely. 1,000%. And the UFC, people want people. And that's the biggest thing about the fan base in the UFC, that they want fights, actual good fights. They don't want celebrity shit.
Okay. Hear me out. This might be already something but I'm so new to all this shit.
Yeah.
Is that a new marketing point of like the fact that like our like ability to like keep our eyes on a TV screen or keep our attention on a TV screen is so low that they are purposely booking fights that would end in 10 to 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a purposeful thing you think?
I mean, like sometimes, yeah. I mean, like in the UFC, you would never fucking know. It's real fucked up in the UFC because, like, I mean, like, you just know. Some lower organizations will do that. They'll put somebody in there with somebody that they're just not supposed to be in there with.
Right, right.
And just for the views. Like, and you'll see.
Because they know that's going to get clipped, go crazy on YouTube.
Absolutely, 1,000%. That's the same thing that happened with Jake Paul. They knew that going in, that within the UFC, the selling point in the UFC was when Ben Askren fought Jorge Masvidal, is that Ben Askren has elite wrestling. Mm-hmm. If he gets his hands on Jorge Masvidal at all during that fight at all, if he didn't get hit with that knee and all that shit like that, it was over for Jorge Masvidal. It was fucking Dunsville for him if he was gonna get his hands on him. Nobody's gonna out wrestle Ben Askren.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just wrestling, bro. You got to strike too. But they knew that Ben Askren has absolute shit striking.
He made that obvious with Jake Paul.
Can't kick. He's not athletic. He's not going to head kick you. He's not going to hit you with some spinny shit. He's not going to hit you with nothing like that shit. So you're not afraid. So Jorge Masvidal would never run through a jumpy, crazy knee. So they knew that booking him against Jake Paul, somebody that doesn't have any as much boxing experience, and he's a Olympic wrestler, and you know he's been a champion
has
in this
all
organization.
The credits
all
the to credits win a wrestling shit. Match, but not a boxing match. It's marketable. I know why it worked.
They would never give him somebody that. Because
I gotta tell you, I didn't know much about Ben to be like, yeah, he's gonna lose for sure.
But it sold just enough, so it was just like, could Jake lose? Because this guy was in the UFC, and the UFC doesn't sign motherfuckers. Will bust.
It worked. Like,
exactly. It was smart.
Because also, it's God. They are so smart.
Yeah.
Because like taking that and placing it where the audience is, because it's just kids and like adults who are aware of who Jake Paul is or aware of the fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, nigga, like I seen Ben Askren do some crazy shit.
Right,
he got that. It's just like not enough information to know that he's probably not going to, you know, be able to knock him out, let alone, you know, win a really good, you know, 5-round fight or whatever.
Yeah, right? Fuck that, dude. Like, it's just, yeah, I mean, we all know that. I mean, in real life, if Ben Askren and Jake Paul, like, actually met in real life.
I think he would catch his ass and put him in a sleep.
If he grabs you at all, it's over. It's over, bro. He's going to kill, like, actually kill you. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, that's, like, I get where all the marketing and all that shit that goes. So, like, I hope that he knows that, like, yeah, like, I'm glad that this went that way. But, like.
Is he done?
Who?
Ben.
Is he just done, like, fighting?
Do you think?
No, he was retired.
Oh, he
retired
was.
From the UFC. He kept losing in the UFC because when they signed him, he never won. He won his first fight technically against Robbie Lawler. He put him in a bulldog choke, and they thought that Robbie tapped, and he really didn't. Mm. And he was getting the shit beaten out of him. I mean, the whole beginning of the fight, Ben was getting like slammed on his neck, fucking like elbows, punches. Like I thought he was out cold like twice, three times in that fight already. Wow. And they gave him the bulldog choke, and then like they thought that he put Robbie out, and he didn't. But I mean, honestly, in my opinion, the bulldog choke was already sunk in, so Robbie wasn't going anywhere anyway. Right. But still, and after that, I mean, he couldn't do anything. Like, I mean, he had knocked out Jorge Masvidal, got fucking put to sleep by Damian Maia. Yeah, he just can't do anything anymore. So it's just like they knew that selling him against Jake Paul is gonna fucking win. So, I mean, boxing is not, that's what you have to do for boxing. Fucking, how old is Mike Tyson right now?
He's like 50-something.
They had Mike Tyson come back and fight in an exhibition match, no knockouts, only body shots.
People bought against, that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Against, was it Sugar Ray? I forgot who it was.
It's Roy something.
Roy, yeah, Roy. Roy Jones Jr. And yeah. It was like that's the biggest thing. Mm. They're doing Tyson Fury versus Wilder 3.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's what I saw the other day.
Nobody knows any other boxers. You know, Canelo.
You see what I'm saying? They're limited to their big ticket purchase.
You know?
Because, like, I guess you do have your, like, loyal group of fans who are going to, like, tune into whatever pay-per-view you put on. But, like, that, like, let's grab the outside of the box viewer, that's gone right now.
Yeah.
Because no one knows the names.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can. Like, at least you can sell something in the MMA, like, yo, this motherfucker's a karate fighter and this motherfucker's a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
People know what karate is. People know what wrestling is. People know that they're both about to go do.
Yeah, but even then, they still have that name. Whether it's one of them or both of them, they still have that on each card they're putting out right now.
Right, absolutely. And every card, they always have a name that you probably have heard. If you know the UFC, you probably know at least one of those names.
Yeah.
And if it says UFC, if it's a fight night card, probably not. You probably don't know one of those names unless you know the UFC. Yeah. It's going to be one of those, you know, those odd, you know, Monday Night Raws where it's kind of like, you know, not everybody, not all the people are going to be on
That's
there.
A good analogy.
Raw
used to be some mid sometimes, bro.
Yeah, man. You might get an Unaga or something like that, whatever, a couple of times.
RP Umaga.
Yeah, Umaga a couple of times, but you're not going to get anybody else type shit. But, like, you know, you might get the boogeyman a couple times eating worms and shit, but you might not get anybody else. You
might not get Triple H.
You might not get Triple H this time. You might not spit nothing in the crowd. But
well, to wrap up the podcast, are you okay? Two questions: are you gonna watch Logan Paul versus?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 1,000%.
Okay, that proves my second question. Yeah, because like it's just kind of like we're gonna still watch the fucking building burn down.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, I mean, Floyd, absolutely, 1,000%. I just think that it's going to be good for Logan. Because anything that he does against Floyd is going to be points against him and against Floyd. Anything that Floyd does against Logan is just going to be something that we already expected.
Gotcha.
So he has nothing
to gain. Yeah, he doesn't have much to lose.
Anything to gain. He doesn't have any. He has everything. Like, Floyd has everything to lose from this. And really nothing to gain but some money. Like, I mean, some more money, like make a couple hundred more million, which is cool for him. But, like, I mean, I'll say it this way. This is my prediction for the whole fight.
Let's go.
First three rounds, if it goes that round, if it goes that far, Floyd's going to touch him. Logan's going to throw some heavy shit. He might even hit Floyd in the body in the, or the head one, a couple times. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's going to be a lot of clinching going on because it's like, because, you know, Logan's a lot bigger than Floyd is.
That's my only.
It's going to be a lot of clinching.
It's my only thing because Logan towers Floyd Mayweather.
A lot of clinching going on. Now, is he's not going to, Logan's going to throw all that fucking crazy shit because he knows that he's bigger than him. And, you know, he's going to find out that it's really, really fucking, really, really fucking hard to hit Floyd Mayweather. It doesn't matter how old he is. Doesn't matter at all. Canelo, you know, fucking Pacquiao, all those dudes trying their hardest. These guys are training years of their fucking, longer than Logan Paul's been doing YouTube.
Right.
You know, than boxing.
Yeah.
You know, and couldn't hit Floyd. Couldn't hit him. Mm. Couldn't hit him. Like, just couldn't hit him. So, I don't think that it's going to, I mean, obviously, it's money for both of them. They, you know, it's $100-some million for both of them. It's probably going to be a, you know, good bit, you know, of money for them. So, it's, fuck it. But after the third round, he gets drowned.
Right.
Logan's going to have thrown all his shit. And at that point, it's just Floyd's going to be dancing on him and doing all that, you know, that hitting him, tapping him, you know.
Fair enough.
It's going to be really it. Like, you know, it's, I mean,
right.
I don't really think it's, do we have any notes on anything else other than that?
No.
Other than the fights?
Not really. That's all I wanted to talk
JBP,
about.
The fights.
Hour 12.
Yeah,
that's a good podcast.
Yeah, it's good for me. Yeah.
Oh shit, man! I'm actually
Gucci slides, bitch.
Dude,
life is different.
I can't
now.
Lie because I really wanted to talk to you about the Logan Paul shit because I was like, bro, I'm kind of excited for that shit. Yeah. Is there a world where Logan Paul wins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like absolutely. There's a world because like Floyd didn't train for Connor. Connor hit Floyd a couple times.
Yeah.
And not throwing like power jabs, but like throwing stuff out to gain your reach and to see your distance between them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just to feel distance. That shit worked for Connor a lot. Mm. Connor has terrible cardio, so it's not gonna work for him for a very long time. But like missing the target is gonna take out a lot.
Right.
So, you know, if you're not a boxer and Connor is not a boxer, it's just different. It's different. It takes a lifetime of conditioning your body to do something. And if you're doing shit like if you're trying to learn some shit like that after 25, after your body is not developed to do what it's been doing for since before that, your brain's not developed to be doing that thing that you've been used to, you know?
It's a lot, yeah.
It's hard to get yourself to be doing those things afterward that you're not necessarily used to. So if you wanted to be doing, you know, if you wanted to be a boxer, it's probably have best to be doing that shit before you turned 25, you know?
That means the SD card's out. But thank you so much for listening to the podcast. When's this coming out? Yeah, it's coming out Monday. Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Happy Memorial Day.
Shout out to the Camaros and Challengers of the world. Love y'all. See you later. Thanks, Matt.
Season.